I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, February 19th. The National Archives, which administers the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum in Dorchester, announced the library will reopen today after the library announced it was unexpectedly closed yesterday until further notice. The library was closed as of 2 p.m. yesterday, citing a mass firing of federal workers following a new executive order from President Donald Trump. An announcement of the closure was posted on the library's website and on social media by the JFK Library Foundation. A matching statement citing the executive order was also posted on the glass door of the library. An employee described an emotional meeting that was held just before the building was closed. They said several people left the meeting in tears and that up to 9 members of the staff were laid off. JFK's living relatives said the blame is on Trump and Elon Musk and their decision to fire federal workers. The library and museum honoring the 35th president is housed in a landmark building designed by I.M. Pei on Columbia Point in Dorchester. The complex opened on October 20, 1979, and then President Jimmy Carter was among the luminaries who spoke. The facility is one of 16 presidential libraries administered by the National Archives and Records Administration. A hearing yesterday in the high-profile Karen Reed case was suspended by the judge after she expressed, quote, grave concern over new information provided to her by the prosecution. The new information involves communications with the federal government about experts from high-profile forensic consulting engineering company, ARCCA. Based on statements made in court by prosecutors, the federal government told the defense that though a contract had ended with that company, the original materials were still protected. The company provides, among other things, accident reconstruction expertise. While the update provided in court didn't specify which experts or what materials may be protected, it raises the question of whether the expert testimony will be allowed in court. In Reed's previous trial, the defense presented 2 of the company's experts to examine whether John O'Keefe was struck by Reed's vehicle. Prosecutors filed a motion looking to keep 2 experts from the company off the stand in the second trial. Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan says the state and the court weren't given full disclosure about the experts. In the first trial, he says the Commonwealth was never told the defense was paying the experts $23,000 and collaborating with them on their testimony. The judge could eliminate the ability of defense attorney Alan Jackson and others from out of state to appear in her courtroom. Reed's first trial ended in a mistrial last year. The motions hearing was rescheduled for next week. An MBTA driver and 6 passengers had to be rescued by boats after their trolley was hit by a wall of water while approaching the Milton station yesterday morning. The T said about 7:46 a.m., shuttle buses were replacing service between Mattapan and Ashmont due to a water main break at Milton station, but they later clarified that it was due to flooding from the Neponset River, not a water main break. Shuttle buses replaced service for hours due to the flooding at the Milton station. Ryan Caholan, the T's chief operating officer, said just after 7:30 yesterday morning, one of their trolley operators called dispatch to let them know water was coming into the railroad right-of-way. He said it appeared the water was coming from the nearby Neponset River onto the community path and then onto the tracks. 6 passengers and the operator were removed off the trolley by Milton firefighters using a small inflatable boat. The water level was knee to waist high, but was so cold it was not safe for the people to walk out on their own. Milton's fire chief, Christopher Madden, said there is an ice dam under Adams Street, causing it to back upstream, overfilling the banks onto the walking trail and then onto the trolley tracks. The flooding had receded as of about 10:30 yesterday morning. Boston area car sales giant Herb Chambers is selling his network of companies to a Georgia-based corporation for 1.3 $1.34 billion. The money includes $590 million for Chambers properties and another $750 million labeled as goodwill. Founded in 1985, the Herb Chambers companies sell 35 brands across 60 dealerships, operate three collision centers, and employ more than 2,200 people across Massachusetts and Rhode Island. According to the announcement, the sale includes 33 dealerships, 52 franchises, and three collision centers. Asbury Automotive Group is a publicly traded Fortune 500 company that operates 152 dealerships, selling 31 brands. None of the company's current locations are in New England. Asbury said in a statement that the company is involved in a multi-year plan to increase revenue and profitability through strategic growth. The transaction's expected to close late in the second quarter. A proposal from State Senator John Keenan of Quincy that would require senators to vote in person during formal sessions was rejected on a vote of 5-32. Keenan said senators only had 45 days that involved roll call votes last session and that they should be in person. Other Democratic senators argued that remote participation gives flexibility to lawmakers who live further away from Beacon Hill. The Quincy Environmental Treasures February tour of Faxon Park has been rescheduled to March 1st at 2 p.m. due to the inclement weather. Registration is required by emailing Sally Owen at sowen@quincyma.gov. Applications are now available for the Edith H. McDonald Scholarship given by the Seaside Gardeners of Squantum. Any high school senior currently living in Squantum and any relative of a member of the Seaside Gardeners planning to attend a 2- or 4-year college is eligible for the $1,000 award. Applications must be postmarked by April 1st. Contact Laurie Kelleher at 617-797-3349 or email lauriekelleher@verizon.net. Governor Healey yesterday nominated Andrew Hoffman and Jeannie Reinhart to the juvenile court. The nominees will now be considered by the Governor's Council for confirmation. The mission of the juvenile court is to protect children from abuse and neglect, to promote opportunities for children to reside in safe, stable, permanent family environments, to strengthen families, to rehabilitate juveniles, and to protect the public from delinquent and criminal behavior. The Juvenile Court Department has jurisdiction over civil and criminal matters, including delinquencies, youthful offender cases, care and protection matters, and children requiring assistance cases. It has 42 judges, including the Chief Justice, sitting in over 40 courthouses. Andrew Hoffman is a juvenile law specialist with over 2 decades of experience representing children, parents, relatives, guardians, and foster and pre-adoptive parents in child abuse and neglect proceedings in the juvenile, probate, and family and appellate courts. He resides in Milton with his wife and a child. And Jeannie Reinhart has dedicated her legal career to representing parents and children in custodial disputes. She currently manages the Brockton Office of the Committee for Public Counsel Services Children and Family Law Division and carries a caseload providing legal representation. She currently resides in Whitman. Over 70 turtles recovering from life-threatening conditions have been given names inspired by Greek mythology at the Sea Turtle Hospital in Quincy. The green sea turtle dubbed Aphrodite, two loggerheads called Athena and Baras, and Kemp's Ridley's Hercules and Pegasus are among the more than 500 turtles that have been rescued from Cape Cod beaches this fall and winter and treated for being cold stunned at the New England Aquarium's hospital at the Quincy Shipyard. Water temperatures can drop rapidly from November to early January and expose sea turtles, causing hypothermia and other illnesses. The aquarium says Mass Audubon's Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary helps to find and bring in the stranded turtles to the hospital. Many of the cold-stunned turtles have since been moved to other rehabilitation facilities. However, 71 remain in critical condition and are receiving long-term care from the Sea Turtle Hospital in Quincy. During their stay, the turtles are given names by the hospital staff, and this year, under the theme of Greek mythological figures. The majority of the cold-stunned turtles in Cape Cod are Kemp's Ridleys, the smallest and one of the most endangered species of sea turtle. Turtles are being treated for conditions ranging from pneumonia to bacterial sepsis. The Sea Turtle Hospital has treated over 500 turtles since November. After being rehabilitated, the sea turtles will be released into Nantucket Sound once the water temperatures warm up this summer. Check of business news this morning, and stocks are higher. The Dow is up 10, the NASDAQ rose 14, and the S&P is up 14. Asian stocks were mixed. The dollar was down, the euro rose, oil at $72 a barrel. Forecast from the National Weather Service today, mainly sunny, not as windy, the high of 28 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, lows again dropping into the single digits. Snow showers tomorrow, the high of 28, Friday sunny and a high of 34, Saturday sunny, a high of 36. The marine forecast calls for 2-foot waves, west winds 15 to 20, gusting at times to 30, a high tide at 4:02 p.m. Sunrise 6:34, sets at 5:21. Traffic note, Four River Bridge scheduled to open today at 1 p.m. and Thursday at 6:15 a.m. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, February 19th.